Upfront, inside Atlanta's entertainment industry, is brought to you by Atlanta's Jazz Station, 91.9 FM, WCLK.
Coming up on this week's show, Upfront talks to Emmy Award-winning actor Robert Richard about his role in the new erotic thriller, Kinky, and comedic actress and singer Tashina Arnold is here to chat about her new CBS sitcom, The Neighborhood. I'll also be celebrating the life and music of Atlanta jazz diva, Theresa Hightower, who passed away this week. But first, here's Reva Blue with this week's casting buzz and entertainment news.
All right, Mr. DeMille, I'm ready for my close-up.
Hilton Casting is currently looking for extras to portray bartenders, waitresses, bouncers, musicians, managers, and an entourage for a nightclub scene in the new BET series American Soul. The show chronicles of the life and legacy of Soul Train creator Don Cornelius. Shooting will take place on Wednesday, October 17th. If this is you, please submit your information to HiltonCasting.com/AmericanSoul101718. In other related entertainment news, the trailer for The Best of Enemies starring Taraji P. Henson and Sam Rockwell has finally been released. The film focuses on the unlikely friendship between outspoken black activist Anne Atwater and Ku Klux Klan member Claiborne Paul Ellis during the turbulent 1960s in Durham, North Carolina. Watch it on WCLK.com. OWN has released a first look on its upcoming docuseries, Chad Loves Michelle. It follows the engagement of Destiny's Child star Michelle Williams and her fiancé, Chad Johnson, and premieres on Saturday, November 3rd at 9 p.m. The series features an honest inside look at the path to marriage between the Grammy Award-winning singer and Johnson, a sports chaplain to professional sports organizations. Watch the trailer at WCLK.com. And finally, fans of Black Panther will be thrilled to know that there will be a sequel to the movie blockbuster. According to The Hollywood Reporter, the film's director, Ryan Coogler, has signed a deal to write and direct Black Panther 2. He will begin writing the sequel next year, and production will begin in late 2019 or early 2020. Black Panther has become the top-grossing superhero film of all time in North America. Congratulations, and Wakanda forever. That's this week's Casting Buzz and Entertainment News. I'm Reva Blue.
Programming on WCLK is made possible in part by St. James Live, presenting Smooth Sundays with contemporary urban jazz guitarist Eric Essex, October the 14th. Eric has performed with artists including Marcus Miller, Jeff Lorber, and Peebo Bryson. Eric Essex live at St. James on Sunday, October the 14th. Doors open at 6 p.m., showtime at 7. St. James Live is located at 3220 Butner Road in Atlanta. Ticket information is available at stjamesliveatl.com.
This is Coleman Domingo, and you're listening to Upfront with Ray Cornelius.
Sorry, guys. I was super busy.
This is my somewhat shy brother.
There's something so mysterious, so sexy about you.
Seems like someone really likes you, Dr. Carmichael.
You know I've been interested. I'm just going to ask you, do you want a date?
I'm sort of dating someone.
So, fill us in on your sex life.
Guys, I have to take this.
Don't talk to your little friend.
I was hoping you can come over.
I'd love to.
Anything I can help you find?
I'm looking for something in the bondage space. You want to play? Somebody's been a naughty girl.
That was the trailer for the sexy new film, Kinky. The story follows Dr. Joyce Carmichael, a talented surgeon who tries to balance work, religion, and love. After a chance encounter, she begins a whirlwind romance with a wealthy businessman, Darren Bernard, who allows her to explore her sexual fantasies. The film stars Don Richard, Vivica A. Fox, Gary Dordain, Darren Henson, Candy Burris, and my first guest, Robert Richard. The Emmy-winning actor of television and film stopped by the studio this week to chat about the movie and much more.
Robert Richard, welcome to Upfront. How are you?
What's going on, world? How you guys doing? Love you guys. What's going on, ATL?
This is a very busy week for you. You have a new film coming out.
I'm so excited about it. Yeah. It's great, too. I recommend everyone to go and see it.
So how did you get involved with this project?
So this is my third project with the director. And he came to me and said, hey, there's this great movie I want you to see called 9 and a Half Weeks with Mickey Rourke and Kim Basinger.
Oh, my God.
And he goes, I want to remake that movie. And so we made this amazing film, and Don Richard's in it with me, and Vivica Fox, and Gary Dordain from CSI, and Darren DeWitt Houston, and actually Candy Burris is in the movie, too.
Okay.
I jumped on board as the lead character, and it's a phenomenal masterpiece, and it's great.
Tell us a little bit about him.
So the movie follows a young professional who's a surgeon, and she has her life very much put together. So she's got like her career going, and she's like a pillar of the community, and she's a church girl, and she's good with her mom and her sister. She's good with her girlfriends, and she's like, I don't want to date. And then she meets this like handsome like finance dude, and he's like, I'd love to, you know, spend some time with you and come out on the yacht tomorrow. She's like, yeah. So he's like, you know, whining and dining and the champagne. It ain't so much about what he's saying. It's about like, you know, what he's really saying.
Yeah.
And she can't resist the urges. And she goes home and she's having like dreams about this dude. So she goes to her therapist and she's asking the therapist, is this normal? And he's like, you know, women have urges just like men do. So she sort of like wants to explore the things that adventure in the bedroom with this man, and then he unlocks Pandora's box and it just kind of goes crazy. And a lot of the movies compare to 50 Shades of Grey.
Yeah, I was gonna say,
yeah, because there's that correlation in that relationship. But it was really inspired by the 9 and a Half Weeks movie, actually.
Now, had you seen that film before?
I hadn't seen it before, but I watched that movie before I gotten this, and then I realized how much in love Mickey Rourke was with Kim.
Yeah.
So I fell in love with Dawn. I took her out on a date. We went out and hung out together. I brought her flowers on the first day.
Yeah, I was gonna say, how do you prepare for a role like this?
Well, I think that in all my roles, I mean, I work with some of the best women, like young women in Hollywood. I work with Megan Good for years. I work with Kyla Pratt for years. I work with Jennifer Freeman. I work with all these beautiful women. And I just fall in love. I think people are scared sometimes to kind of like jump. And I'm not afraid to jump. My dad always taught me, don't be afraid of anything. And I think people are afraid of love sometimes and afraid of that carnal energy that's inside of them, the things that want to explore something different. And, you know, I just said, hey, I'm up for the challenge. And the movie is fantastic.
Now, how do you get, because this is, you had mentioned, this is your third project with this director. And he's sort of delved into this world before.
Yeah.
How did you get comfortable with this type of role?
You know, I think my comfort level, one, comes to the fact of like, I have to be professional. You know, my job is to serve storylines, and I'm really a man of service. So I have to go above and beyond and meet that. And then another thing, too, I think is, you know, my health. I've gotten myself in a pretty good position health wise where I can feel comfortable, you know, taking care of a woman, sort of being her Tarzan in this jungle, but also physically looking the part. So, you know, I work out 10 minutes a day. Everybody knows I have a social health initiative. So my doctor and I created this thing called Highway Fit. It's no weights, no gym, no travel. You can do it anytime, anywhere, every day. And it's physician endorsed, medically sound, and accessible for all. So I train people all the time. I got people who are 400 pounds who've never known fitness, who've lost 250 pounds. And so I have a strong relationship outside of my career with my followers and with my community. So when they see me on television in my underwear or shirt off, whatever, they're like, this is the same work that he's doing with me constantly and, you know, being a leader.
Okay.
So I think that's part of the reason why I'm comfortable with this, because, you know, I think people know why I have the results that I do health-wise.
What do you think will be the takeaway message from this film?
You know, I think surprisingly, it's the relationship that the characters have with God. the movie starts out in the church, in an incident church, which is kind of ironic. And they talk about in scripture how, you know, God created intimacy and he wants us to explore that as long as you're like in a committed, faithful relationship. And, you know, my character is in love with Dawn. He can't get enough of her. So you see all these things that might be quote unquote provocative or adventurous in the bedroom or kinky, but it comes from a place of love. You know, he wants this woman. So I think that's one thing that's, you know, a good flip on. It's not just like raunchy or freaky for no reason. You know?
Yeah. Now, when you started your career, did you imagine that you would be a sex symbol?
No, it's funny because, I mean, I've been in the business for 22 years and I don't even look 22 yet. So, you know, I definitely kind of came from the more wholesome side with all the kid shows that I had. Cousin Skeeter, every athlete in the world loves that show. I remember Michael Jordan come up to me being like, can I get a picture? Like, yeah. My kids love that show. And then doing, you know, shows like comedy, like One-on-One, that kind of stuff. And it's funny that I've sort of become this man who is, you know, I'm trying to take over DW spot. Yeah. Denzel was the man that every girl was like, her if list.
Yeah.
Honey, if I see Denzel on the street, I'm definitely going to hug and kiss him, and I'm becoming that man. So, Yeah. And, you know, I still there's other things I want to do in my career, which is basically running, shooting a weapon, kissing the girl, you know, on repeat. So
now how do your parents react to these types of roles?
You know, what's funny, like my whole family, they think it's kind of like, they know that I'm a nerd. Like, I'm a nerd. Like, I went to school for engineering. I like business and stuff like that. So right. It's kind of weird that I'm in this art form and people don't know, but I use a lot of like science and math principles to kind of be a good actor.
Okay.
And
explain that.
Well, what I did was I worked backwards. I said, okay, who are the best actors? Denzel, Meryl Streep, Daniel Day-Lewis, Jack Nicholson. And then I asked the question, why? And then I work back. And basically the reason why we think of them as the best actors is because they suspend all disbelief. So when you watch any of those, you know, Daniel Day-Lewis play like Abraham Lincoln, you really believe he's Abraham Lincoln. And like when Meryl Streep's like some like, you know, politician who's like backstabbing everybody, you like in it with her. So I was like, I want to jump like that and kind of have that no fear approach. And I sort of use that sort of science to build all my characters. And, you know, I'm an Emmy Award winning actor and I've beaten out Academy Award winners for that trophy. So, and I, you know, I got a lot of career left and I'm just trying to, you know, keep everybody entertained. I love everybody.
Let's talk about, you've got five more projects after this one, but two that caught my eye, Bolden and Throwback Holiday. Let's talk about Bolden.
So Bolden's this movie about a real man named Buddy Bolden. And he was crazy, but he could play the cornet. And he created this art form that's really America's only true American art form, which is jazz.
Okay.
And it's the story of his life. And it's crazy because you're watching a story that looks like what they're doing to Kaepernick, Colin Kaepernick, the football player, okay, 150 years ago. Because basically society, whether it was like the radio industry or white America or just New Orleans, how do we steal this man's talent and kill him? So they gave him women and drugs and all the things that were really like feeding this maniac, because they were just trying to trap his sound in the radio. And once they had his sound, they didn't need him anymore. And this is the predecessor to Louis Armstrong.
Okay.
So, and then my character is a real guy named George Baquet. He was like the most decorated clarinet player who was like orchestra trained. And Buddy recruited him to be in his band.
Okay.
And then hated him. And we got in fights on every single night that we played together, even though I'm in the band. So it's a great movie, though. And I mark my word, it'll win the Academy Award. It's that powerful.
Wow.
And it's great because you're watching sort of this like true African storyline of this person who has all this talent and watching society trying to rape him of his talent and feeding everything to him, drugs, women, alcohol, to watch his peril, even though they, you know, want to expose and capitalize on the talent.
Yeah. And then Throwback Holiday.
Yeah, oh, it's great. I love Christmas movies. So I'm in the greatest sports movie, Coach Carter.
Okay.
It is, hands down. And the greatest holiday movie is probably Home Alone. But Throwback Holiday will probably go down as probably the second.
Okay.
And it's basically a Christmas story. Me and Jennifer Freeman, she comes across, she's like, holidays, sees this guy in a parking lot who's so dashing.
Is that you?
And that's me. Okay. Yeah, I play that guy. And she's like, you know, talking to this guy. And he's like, I know you from high school. She's like, where? And he's like, I went to high school with you. You kind of overlooked me in high school. She goes to sleep, wakes up, she's back in high school. And then the guy that was a dashing guy in the parking lot is the nerd in high school who she completely overlooked. And we watch if she's going to give this guy a chance. But it's a beautiful story. And, you know, I definitely stretched myself in that one, too. So
you've been doing this for quite a long time. What do you think is the secret to your longevity?
God. You got to put God first in everything you do. You know, I tell my family this all the time. I tell everybody in my community. I said, listen, if you put something before God, he will take it away from you. So it's really, really important that you sort of give your honor and your service to him and then do what you love. Love your wife, love your mother, love your father, love your kids through God. Because if not, he'll just take it away from you. And it's happened to all of us. We all know when you make money your God, or you make going out your God, it starts to go topsy-turvy. So I think that's probably the biggest thing that was shepherding my career.
All right. Robert Richard, thank you so much for being a guest today on Upfront. Kinky is in theaters this weekend, and you can get more information about that at WCLK.com. Thanks so much for being here.
I love you guys. God bless.
Hi, this is Reva Blue. Join me and WCLK for our live broadcast from Hartsfield-Jackson International Airport for the 4th annual Taste of Hartsfield-Jackson. It's on Thursday, November 8th from 11 a.m. until 3 p.m. It's all about No Kid Hungry, a nonprofit working to solve hunger and poverty in Georgia. We'll be located in the atrium of the domestic terminal. Of course, there'll be food, dessert, and jazz provided by Grits and Jelly Butter. Information is available at tinyurl.com/tasteofhj.
It was you and I against the world. It was you and I against the odds. It was you and I.
Hey, this is Jasmine Guy, and you're listening to Upfront with Ray Cornelius.
Hey, baby. Any sign of the new neighbors yet?
Nope.
Well, ain't that something? I invite them to my home, laugh at his corny jokes. You know, he has the audacity not to show up.
Gina!
Hey, Dave! So glad you can make it.
Calvin?
Hey, Dave.
Hi, I'm Tina.
I'm Gemma. This is our son, Grover.
Grover? Grover Johnson?
We brought this. We got it to celebrate our first night in the house, but we thought it'd be fun to share it with our new neighbors.
Oh, how thoughtful. Isn't that thoughtful, baby?
I'm more of a beer man myself.
I'm more of a beer man, too. I just love a good IPA. How about you?
Dude, I just like beer.
Well, how about we go inside and pop this baby open? And show all these freeloaders how to bring a gift.
So, aren't you gonna go in and have some champagne?
No, like I said, I'm a beer man too. So let's take a look at your meat. I'm gonna go inside.
That was a snippet from CBS's newest comedy series, The Neighborhood, starring Cedric the Entertainer, and my last guest, Tashina Arnold. Dave Johnson and his wife Gemma and son Grover move from Michigan to their new Los Angeles dream home. Their opinionated next-door neighbor, Calvin Butler, is wary of the newcomers and certain that the Johnsons will disrupt the culture on the block. However, Calvin's gracious wife, Tina, rolls out the welcome wagon along with their youngest son, Marty, and their older unemployed son, Malcolm. Tashina Arnold stopped by Upfront as part of my new show on CAU-TV to talk about her role, her appearance on TV1's Uncensored, and her favorite Martin episode.
You've got this new series with CBS. You're paired up with Cedric the Entertainer, yes, which you guys are amazing. How did this role come to you?
Well, I've been in show business a very long time, 37 years, and I still audition. I like going on auditions. I tell other actors, always audition because it allows you to meet new people in the room, you know? Producers, really, if they get fired, they don't really get fired. They just move around. And I've known Cedric for 20-something years. We have a lot of mutual friends, and I've never worked with him. So that was one of the reasons why I wanted to audition for this show, because, you know, I wanted to get a chance to work with him. I think Cedric is an amazing guy. First of all, yeah, an amazing husband and just a great father. And I've just watched him all these years and just always had high respect and regard for him. And I just wanted to work with him. And here I got a chance to work with him and be on a major network, CBS.
Yeah.
So it's a good thing.
Now, you've played a mother role before. We've seen you on Everybody Hates Chris. We loved you as Rochelle. You were amazing on Survivor's Remorse.
Thank you. What are
you bringing to the role of Miss Tina?
Oh, you know, and Miss Tina, I like you gave a Miss Tina already. She's actually a little more grounded. Like, this is, she's more, I don't want to say the straight person, but she's his backbone. She's, you know, Calvin's backbone. So she still has her dingers, you know. I still, like, have really funny lines. But she's more accepting of this family moving in the neighborhood. So what I'm bringing to her is a little more grounding, a little more a woman that's more refined, because obviously our kids are older.
Yeah.
And she's focused, but nice, but, you know, she'll get you. She'll cut you.
Yeah.
If you rub her the wrong way. But she's basically wants to have a good family, and just she's grounded, and she wants to have a family that, I mean, she, you know, a loving, motherly. She's a little more motherly than the mothers that I've played in the past.
Yeah. Gotta ask you, you have been, like you mentioned before, you've been doing this for a very long time. When a lot of your contemporaries are still trying to find work, you sort of maintain. You've been on television for the last, what, 2-3 decades.
Thank God for reruns.
Yeah, how do you maintain that? How do you keep that going?
Well, I always say, you know, I've been in place, been in positions in life where literally I didn't have two nickels to rub together, and I still turned down work. It's always about the work. It's always should always be about the work and the project, and not so much yourself. And I understand we as actors, we all want to work. We all want to, you know, be seen. But I don't care about being a star. I don't care about, you know, being some huge celebrity or whatever titles you want to put. A stars fall, you know.
Yeah.
I want to do good work. I want to leave a legacy of good work, because I started at the age of 11. So this is all I've done. So I put show business in high regard. I respect it. Mm-hmm. And what you put in is what you get back. And I want to be able to just leave a legacy of good work and stuff that I could believe in and that I can be proud of.
In addition to this new series on CBS, you're also appearing on TV1's docuseries Uncensored.
Yes, yeah. I'm a little nervous about that.
So what made you decide to do that? Because you're putting a lot of stuff out there.
I want
right?
to say the money, but... You know, I had never done anything like that before, and they asked me, and I actually said no the first two times, and then by the third time, I was like, okay, let me try it out, because I think it's important. I don't mind sharing myself and any of my personal life with the world, as long as I'm helping someone and it makes sense. So I did share a few things that I think will help other young actors, other young people that are coming up, or anybody that wants to do or be where I am right now. I think that Uncensored would give them a little more information as to, you know, my struggles.
Yeah. Now, will we see you talk about your advocacy for lupus? Because you're a big fan of, lupus information, getting that information out there.
Well, my sister, you know, my sister was diagnosed with seven diseases, and the last disease that she was diagnosed with was lupus. And when we went to look for information about it, we couldn't find it. Mm. And they gave her 7 years to live, and now she's 15 years in, and they told her she couldn't have a children. She just had a baby 3 months ago. So God is good. It is possible. Anything is possible. So that's why I've always been, we want to teach people how to survive and live and thrive through lupus. We saw so many people that were just giving up on life. And literally, like, we had a mother, four kids, 35 years old, died. Wow. You know, we're learning how to change our ways, learning how to eat, learning how to live longer, and learning how to prosper. So that's why lupus is so close to my heart, because we're losing a lot of Black women, and we don't have to, you know. So we're teaching women not to give up. And men have it as well, but it's very prominent amongst the Black female community.
I would be remiss if I did not ask you about your iconic character, Pam, from Martin. What is your, let's say, your favorite episode from that entire show?
Oh,
I know, man, that's a hard one, but
actually, no.
Which one stands out the most?
My favorite episode was the episode where Martin had the dog, the fake dog. What was that? The New Jack City.
Yeah.
Oh, if you go back and watch that, you'll hear me doing, because I'm trying not to laugh. The backstory on that episode, you know, Martin wanted a real dog. And, you know, we're a Black show on a syndicated network, because back then Fox was syndicated. So they're like, we're not giving you no money for a real dog. So Mar was not too happy about it. So when we came to work, the prop guys had, you know, Ray and Tim, they were great prop masters. We just love Ray and Tim. They had this fake dog. And so Martin hadn't gotten to the set yet. And as soon as we saw that fake dog, we was like, yeah, bye, Tim and Ray. You guys are going to be fired. Bye. You're out of here.
Yeah.
And Martin said, look, I'll do the scene with the fake dog, but does it stand up? Like, I want to make, does it, you know, you got to make sure the dog doesn't fall.
Right.
And that dog fell in the middle of that scene. And all of us was just like, oh, my God.
And I could see it. I could see you guys trying to hold it back.
But Martin is so brilliant comedically that he just, when he said sit, and then the dog fell, and he said lay. I was done. I almost peed on myself. It was the funniest thing. And just, it showed me how much I appreciate him so much for just his ability to make you laugh. Like, comedically, he is brilliant.
So we're shooting here at Clark Atlanta University. We have a student audience.
This is awesome. This is very nice.
What advice would you give to these young people about maintaining and sustaining yourself and being true to yourself in an industry that is consistently changing, that a lot of times wants to change who you are authentically? How do you remain true to yourself?
And you just said it. I mean, that's the basis of, you know, you got to remember, it's called show business, the business of show. So a lot of times, people who are creative people, as you are, you're in it for the show. But the business side is what takes so many of us down and out, because we don't focus on the business side. So you cannot get in any business not knowing the business. So you get in the business and learn the business of it, and you can still be creative. But you can't play anybody else and not know who you are. It's important that you know who you are first. Then you can play anybody. I find that me being in show business at such early on in life, like 11 years old, it's all I knew. This is what I love doing. This is what I'm going to do for the rest of my life. Mm-hmm. Of course, I've had moments where I just did not work. So I always tell young people who want to be in show business, you better love it. Because when it doesn't love you back, what are you going to do? That's why a lot of young people, you know, you get on drugs, they start finding replacements. Mm-hmm. For what they're not getting back. Show business is like your boyfriend. He may pay attention to you one day and ignore you the next. What will you do? So it's important that you love what you do, because when you love something, you nurture it. When you love something, you wait for it. When you love something, you respect it. When you love something, you put it in high regard. When you love something, you take care of it. When you love something, you kind of, if it doesn't give you back what you want from it, you wait. You know, and I think it's important that you love what you do. You have to find love. And if you don't get in it for the wrong reasons. It's not about being a star. It really isn't. There are wonderful perks. There really are wonderful perks of being in showbiz, but it's a process. I've gone through a lot. When I was a little kid, I'll be doing a show, and if I wasn't in my right place, somebody would kick me out the way, you know? I've had moments where you feel defeated, you know, oh, I'm not auditioning, oh, I'm ugly, or nobody likes me. You're constantly checking yourself. You're constantly, you know, being critical of yourself because that's what you're on stage. People will be critical of you. Mm-hmm. People are gonna say what they don't like. People are gonna criticize you all the time. You're gonna be told no most of the time. Very rarely will you hear somebody say, yes, we want you, yes. Yes, it was great. You're not going to get those accolades. And when you don't get those accolades, do you still love what you do?
Thank you to Sheena Arnold for that exclusive interview. Watch the full conversation at WCLK.com.
1, 2, 3,
well, that'll do it for this week's show. I'd like to thank all of my special guests, Robert Richard and Tashina Arnold. I would also like to thank my engineer, Jami Wellman, and you. Please join us next Saturday, October 20th at 9 a.m. for another edition of Upfront. We're going to leave you with the sounds of Theresa Hightower performing All Blues. Happy Saturday, Atlanta. If you like today's show, please hit us up at WCLK.com. We'd love to hear from you.
Upfront, inside Atlanta's entertainment industry, has been brought to you by Atlanta's Jazz Station, 91.9 FM, WCLK, an NPR member-supported station.
Some blue chap, blue, 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 blue